Welcome to Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Influencer Marketing for Destinations. We are so excited to continue talking about vetting and finding influencers. And today we have an amazing guest with us to talk about that very thing. So Jess, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest since you know her best, and we'll have her introduce herself a little bit.
That sounds great. Yeah, I am super excited because Sarah from Visit Southern Idaho is on the show with us today. I have known Sarah for several years. We've partnered together while I have experienced her destination in the past, and she is an amazing social media manager, photographer. I think you even do a little video, right, Sarah?
I'll dabble in it here and there. Yeah.
Well, before we get into this, I would love for you to just kind of introduce yourself to the audience and let them help them get to know you.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. I'm Sarah. So I've been working for Visit Southern Idaho for 3 years now. I also do social media marketing for a few other companies, too. And I'm also an avid traveler. I love creating photos, little reels here and there. But yeah, being on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, I love it.
Yeah, and she is amazing at what she does. You need to go check out her pages for Visit Southern Idaho. Can you let them know where they can find you?
Yeah, so my personal page is Earth to Sarah R. Visit Southern Idaho is my biggest account. So we're on Facebook, Instagram. I also do Grow with Twin Falls, Mid Snake Conservation, Devil's Corral, and a couple more here and there. But yeah, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah, she does it all. So she's awesome. We are so excited to have her on the show today.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, welcome. We are so happy to jump right in and talk about this topic today. And as with all our guests, I just want to repeat for our listeners who may be first timers, when we talk to our guests, we want to make sure that we're focusing on positive influencer experiences. We know there are occasional, you know, handful of times where you do get a negative experience, but we want to focus on the positive so that we can better understand each side, the destination and the influencer side, and create better partnerships together. And with that, we'll hop into our first segment. Sarah, we love to do a segment called Hashtag Influenced, where we go around and just share an experience that we've had in the past couple of weeks where we were influenced by something on social media and either had us do something or buy something. So is there anything that you felt you were influenced by?
Oh gosh, I think I'm influenced every single day. Well, I guess a couple weeks ago, I kept seeing these photos of this beautiful hot spring up in central Idaho. So we kind of sporadically decided to drive 4 hours north after seeing this on Instagram. And I went to Goldbug Hot Springs, made the photo that I'd been seeing. And yeah, I'm really glad I did that.
That's awesome. And I checked out those photos. They're beautiful. I'm glad you were able to go up to Goldbug. That's a fun destination.
Oh my gosh, that hot spring is heaven on earth.
Agreed. Jacqueline, what about you? Have you been influenced lately to do or buy something?
Yeah. So me and my husband went shopping a week or two ago. And, you know, I already get frustrated shopping just because it's so hard to find clothes that I like or that fit me mm-hmm. well. My husband has the same problem, and you can't try anything on, as you all know. Mm-hmm. So my husband told me about a TikTok video, I'm sure you all have seen it, where you can put the waistband of pants around your neck. And if they kiss or if they just barely touch, then they should fit. And if they overlap, don't touch, then they won't fit.
Really?
Yeah, we tried it and it worked for him. It worked for me as well, but I ended up just not liking the color of the jeans, so I returned them. But that trick works, if anyone's curious.
Good to know. That's amazing. I'm going to have to try that the next time.
Yeah, and what about you, Jess? What has influenced you this past week or two?
Okay, honestly, I have to say, Sarah was the one that I was influenced by because I saw her pictures of the hot springs on Instagram, and it made me want to have a spontaneous adventure too. So my husband and I and our little baby, we packed up over the weekend and we went out to a different hot spring, but we went out and spent a few hours just relaxing in the springs and enjoying the beautiful sunset that we got to experience. So that was how I was influenced this past week.
Oh, I love that. I did see your little video and your little baby in the hot spring was too cute.
It was super fun. Yeah, it was just perfect temperature for him. And it was just kind of kind of fun to go out and experience that and that unique destination.
That's awesome. Look at this community we've got. It's so positive, so fun.
Agreed. Okay, so Sarah, obviously we're talking about researching and vetting influencers today. So my first question for you is, how do you go about finding your influencers? And then after finding them, researching to see if they're a good fit?
Yeah, so really every influencer has been a different experience for me. Sometimes I'm reaching out to them, sometimes they're reaching out to me. I really love to give people a chance who reach out to me saying they never knew that Idaho was cool or even real. And they say that they're really interested in traveling here. I love to give them a chance. So I'll go and look at their page. I'll just make sure that they're interacting with all of their people, making sure that they do care about their audience, that they're giving them relevant and important information. And then usually we'll just continue the conversation from there. And yeah, we'll start planning the trip from there.
That's really cool. I like how you said that, you know, sometimes they reach out to you and then sometimes you go about finding them. When you go about finding them, how do you find them? Do you just find them through Instagram or Facebook, or do you have a specific influencer marketing platform that you use?
Yeah, so I actually am not using any platform currently. I'm generally going out and looking for them myself. So I'll go on like the Explore page and I'll see some people maybe trending in the Pacific Northwest or in the markets that we're currently trying to target. And if their photos look, you know, like vibrant and bright and just eye-catching, I'll genuinely go and look into their page, start seeing what their captions are, if they're more informational or if it's just a hobby for them. And the people who have about 100,000 to 300,000 followers are who we're generally targeting, just to make sure that our page is getting a great reach to their following.
Interesting. Yeah, I love how you mentioned about the captions. Tell me a little bit more about what you look for specifically in that.
Yeah, so really informational is what we're looking for. How they can portray to their audience how amazing Idaho is our end goal. I want to know that they're going to be writing like how to get to a certain place or what their experience was at this certain place. And hopefully it's all in good light. But of course, a little bit of truth to it, you know, like maybe the road is really bumpy there. So they're letting their audience know that they're going to need a high clearance vehicle, give a little bit of direction, and, you know, interacting with their audience when they're asking questions about what their caption was.
That's really cool. I love that amount of detail and the amount of thought that you've put behind that goal and really being able to communicate with influencers exactly what you're looking for with that collaboration.
Definitely. I really want authentic people, you know, people who truly have a passion for traveling and helping others have those same travel experiences.
For sure. And that's important with any sort of social media communication, for sure. You had mentioned before that not only do you research influencers, but you do have a good amount that reach out to you. What do those pitches kind of look like, and how do you know from that pitch that you want to look further into someone?
Oh, that's a good question. Like I said, they're kind of different every time. Usually it'll just be like a little direct message on Instagram saying, I love your page. I'm really interested in Idaho. Can you tell me a little bit more about it? And then I'll generally educate them and let them know we are just South Central Idaho, because a lot of people reach out and say, I want to go to Boise or I want to go to Sun Valley. And of course, we don't cover that area. So I always make sure that they know the area they're coming to is not the most well known, but I love it when they're even more excited in that sense that they want to promote the places that no one has seen before. Sorry, did that answer your question?
Yeah, no, and definitely. I think that's a huge part of influencer marketing is not only having the destination reach out and find influencers, but having the proactive influencer reach out to destinations too. I know I love it when influencers reach out to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would agree with that. As the time that I've worked and, you know, reaching out to destinations, I think it's important for the influencers to be proactive and reach out and not just, you know, not just look for a free trip, but look for a way that they can provide their audience with authentic material and get their audience excited to visit this destination. I've personally been to their area and it's incredible and I love sharing it with my audience. So I think that's an important aspect, Sarah, that you brought up, is to really make sure that influencer will be authentic and tell the full story with their audience. I think that's really cool.
Definitely, definitely. And you've done that so well for us, Jess. So thank you.
Well, thank you. It's not hard with your destination. It's so much fun. So it's definitely an easy story to sell to the audience for sure.
Awesome.
So I guess my next question is, we talked about some things that you look for when researching your audience and whatnot. How do you know if it's just a hobby or if they're really truly a travel influencer? What are some key things that you look for?
I'll generally look for, like, if they have a blog is a really good indicator for us. Also, if they have a little YouTube channel. Again, going back to the captions, if their captions are about them, that might be more of just a little hobby, like they like to travel themselves. But if the caption is more meaningful, with a good call to action, maybe like, what do you think about this place? Or do you have any questions if you were to go travel here? So just if it's trying to engage with their audience rather than them just telling a little story about their travel experience.
That's great. That's awesome.
I think engagement rate is so important because as a metric, it's not only important to have an influencer reaching out to the world, but having a community that responds and reciprocates and really connects with that influencer as well. And seeing that community and conversation thrive is really important.
Absolutely. I do like to look. I mean, if they're getting thousands and thousands of likes on their photo, yes, that's a great sign. But if they're only getting, you know, 10 comments, that's not exactly the ratio you're wanting. You want people a lot more intrigued by what they're saying. So if they have 1,000 likes, they should have at least a couple hundred comments of people truly engaged in what they're saying.
For sure. I know one of the things that we always ask for from the destination side is if an influencer has a media kit, have you had a lot of experiences or success that you can share with that from influencers?
Yeah, I definitely always request a media kit just to make sure I know who the demographic is that they are reaching. You can't really tell if you're just looking at someone's page, who they're targeting, who they're going for. So a media kit is very crucial for me. And I definitely like seeing a lot of variety of their work. You know, they'll usually showcase their favorites and different kinds, like maybe more commercial, maybe more lifestyle. So yeah, as a brand, I would always recommend requesting a media kit.
Definitely. I think it's interesting you also mentioned that there's an aspect of lifestyle and travel. Everyone always has a little bit of everything, I think. You know, it's hard to truly be niche. I mean, our social medias reflect ourselves, right? So when you look at their Instagram, you mentioned captions, but are you looking to see, you know, how much is lifestyle versus travel and what the content of photography and things like that is?
Definitely. Yeah, it can. Sometimes there are blurry lines because, you know, everyone is unique to themselves. I try to, again, with comments, you can kind of tell what people are interested in. Yes, their photo may have a little bit of fashion and a little, like maybe a little product in there, by a campfire, something like that. It depends on what the people are commenting about and interacting with is truly what their audience is looking for. So I prefer to find all like travel comments, like where were you? How did you find this campsite? Rather than where did you get that shirt from? Or who's that coffee mug from? I'm definitely always looking for travel niche rather than all the blurry stuff around it.
That's great. That really is, that's awesome insight. So if you're an influencer listening to this, make sure, right, your audience is really the audience that the destination is wanting to target. Make sure that they are the ones that are interested in your travel aspect, not just your lifestyle or your fashion or your photography or whatever it may be on your side that you are focusing on. But you really want to make sure that people are interested in traveling and not just interested, but they actually will take actionable steps to get to that destination.
For sure. So I think as we go through this vetting process, you know, if we're looking at the comments, we're finding good things, the photography shows good things, the media kit, you know, confirms all of this good information that we've gotten. How do you go about then starting the conversation with an influencer? And do you, you know, communicate with them as you vet or after you've vetted them and you like them? How does that process work?
So generally starting out, if I'm really diving deep on their pages, I'll actually interact with their content and maybe throw a little bit of like, oh, this picture is really cool. It would look really cool if it was in Southern Idaho. and kind of see what their response is to that and see if they actually respond to me, because that's really important personally. And then I might send them a message on their Instagram, but generally if their email's up there, I try to send an email just to be a little bit more formal with that.
Interesting. I love that.
I think that's really cool that you engage with the influencers and see if they engage back with your destination. I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, you know, the true goal is that their followers are going to ask them about where they're going to visit us, and I want them to reply to them. So if they can't even reply to me, then maybe it's not the best fit.
I think that's fantastic, right? And I think that's one of the next questions that I had flows perfectly into it, is that may be a red flag for you as a destination if they're not responding back to you. So what are some other maybe red flags to you that maybe this influencer is not a good fit for my destination?
As we kind of touched on the ratio of likes to comments, that kind of thing, if they have, you know, a million followers, but they're not getting more than 30 comments, that's a huge red flag. Then you can easily tell they definitely bought their followers. And I like to see kind of how much they post too. If they only post once a month, that's maybe a little bit of a red flag to me, just because I want to make sure their deliverables are getting out in a timely fashion. But yeah, I guess the red flag, that's a really good question. I haven't had too many really scary influencers, so I'm glad I haven't had to break down too many red flags.
Well, no, I think those ones that you listed off are great. And they're definitely ones that destinations should be looking at, whether the, you know, influencer is authentic, or if they have the engagement rate, or if they have true followers. I think that's an important thing to look at as well.
I did just think of one. I try to look back at least a year, and you can tell a lot of people if they've bought their followers like a few weeks prior to their current stuff. You can tell their engagement rates are just cut in half, or even like they don't even exist at that point. Then you can tell if they grew, you know, 100,000 followers in 2 weeks, it's a huge red flag.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I think those are, like you said, you just have to go back a little bit. You just have to spend a little bit of time digging on their page. You can tell the fake influencers from the true influencers pretty easy.
Definitely.
And I love the fact that you've said you've had good experiences. I mean, it's so nice to say you don't have a lot of red flags, or you haven't had to, you know, come up with those kind of processes in place for those bad experiences. We all want that, don't we, to have those good experiences. So I'm glad you've had that.
Yeah, I've been really thankful. The people I've brought here have just been so awesome. And of course, there's been hiccups in the way. I had some influencers, they got a flat tire about 6 miles up a mountain, and they reacted so well. I mean, I've just had really wonderful people come here who have loved their experience here. They all want to come back. So I've been truly lucky with who I've found.
I love that. Is there anything that we haven't asked you that you'd love to share with our audience?
I guess on the other side of things, if you're a travel influencer trying to reach out to some brands, some advice that I came up with was just really study their brand, see what they're going for, try to create some content, not mimicking them, but, you know, in the same aesthetic that they're doing, and show them what you're doing and how much you're putting in effort to want to work with them.
I couldn't agree more. I love that from the destination side.
Yep, I agree.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much again for coming on the show and talking with us today. I know I've benefited from this conversation, and I'm sure our listeners have as well. We really enjoyed talking to you, and we want to thank everyone for tuning in and listening as well. So don't forget to follow Influencer Marketing for Destinations on Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, so we can take this chat offline and really dive into this topic even more.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. And until next time, everybody, we'll see you soon. This has been another episode of Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Jess and Jacqueline and produced by Relic.